My name is Cody Joshua, and you are listening to the Steadfast Disciple Podcast. Hello, fellow disciples. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I know it's been some time, so thanks so much for sticking with me. Thank you also to those who have sent in your questions. I'll try to get to some of those more common questions that I'm receiving. I'll try to get to some of those in a future episode. But today I just wanted to take a look at something that's been on my heart, the reason I've picked this back up after a while, and that is the yoke of Christ. You know, when Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," I kind of wanted to take a deeper look at that and break that down and dissect that, what actually is being said there. Okay, so let's just jump right in the scripture. It's going to be Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus speaking says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I'm sure you'll agree that's such a beautiful invitation of our Savior, you know, him saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, you know, burdened by the cares, the anxieties, the frustrations of the world, you know, weighed down by not only the things that we get ourselves into, but also weighed down by the things that others place upon us." So to further understand this passage, I went to the Greek to look at these two words. You know, Jesus uses weary, and then he uses heavy laden. And so the first word, weary, there is the Greek word kopiao, and it means weary, tired, exhausted, with toil, burdens, or grief. And the second word there, heavy laden, is the Greek word fortizo, and that word means to load down, to place a burden upon, to weigh down. The interesting thing about that word is it's only used twice in the New Testament, once here in Matthew, and the other one is in Luke. It's an interesting passage because it goes right along with this. It's Luke 11, chapter 11, verse 46. Jesus says, "Woe to you lawyers," or teachers of the law, "also, for you weigh men down with burdens too heavy to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers." Interestingly enough, this passage of scripture is where we get the phrase, the etymology of someone who wouldn't even lift a finger to help us. You know, you've heard that expression before. So Jesus here is rebuking the scribes and Pharisees, as he often did in scripture. You know, you see them butting heads quite often. And it's because they are nitpicking little rules. They're you know, he says, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. He used these kind of euphemisms. And it's because they weighed men down, you know, with these heavy burdens, all these extra things they placed upon the law, you know, that God never said. They were you know, adding their own little rules and man-made traditions and regulations. And another prime example of this is in Matthew chapter 15, verses 6 through 9. Jesus says, "So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God, you hypocrites. Well did the prophet Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.'" So here he's saying you're teaching as doctrines, you're teaching as the solid, God-honest truth, the commandments and traditions of men, things you've invented, things you've created. And all these things serve to do was to further weigh down and burden the people, you know, like Jesus says. So when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," it kind of seems funny in the same breath. It seems like a paradoxical statement to say, "Take my yoke upon you." So see, he's saying, "Come to me, you who are tired, you're weary, you're burdened, you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here, just put my yoke upon you." You know, a yoke is an instrument of work. But he means in contrast to all these Pharisaical doctrines and regulations, you know, that are heavy and burdensome. And that's why he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." not only the extra man-made traditions that the Pharisees and scribes placed upon the law, but also just the law itself, you know, the Torah itself, the commandments, you know, were there to show us, as Paul later writes, that we are inadequate. You know, there's no way we can live up to that. There's no way that we can not break those laws. It's to show our inadequacy. And that is why Christ comes to fulfill. You know, he said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. And that is how he becomes our rest. And earlier I mentioned the yoke is an instrument of work, so it would do us good now to actually look at the definition. So a yoke, as a noun, is typically a wooden cross piece that is fastened over the necks of two animals, usually oxen or donkeys, usually attached to a plow or cart for working together. So this yoke was basically a harness. You would put it over the necks of these two animals and it would unite them together. And it would usually be attached to the plow or the cart, the wagon, whatever, you know, for agricultural purposes. And see, I imagine it as a harness, because that's basically what it is. And I had a Siberian Husky for a long time, and, you know, those are sled dogs. So, you know, when they see me coming, or when he saw me coming with that harness, that means it's time to go. You know, it's time to do something. You know, usually for him, it meant going on walks. I didn't make him pull a sled or anything. But those dogs who do that, you know, when they see that harness, they know that they're about to do work. They're about to pull the sled, right? So in Jesus saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, see, he's expounding on what he means. By taking his yoke, he's saying, be joined to me and learn from me in a student-disciple relationship, right? And now we would do well to look at the second definition of the word yoke. You know, the first one we looked at as a noun, right? What the actual physical cross piece was. But it can also be used as a verb, you know, to yoke something. And as a verb, it means to be joined, linked, united, especially as in marriage. Ah, so this gives us even further demonstration, a further example. So of Jesus saying to be yoked, right? To be joined together with me, to be linked with me. And that makes perfect sense, especially in light of the oxen, you know, in that time. So they would have known in that culture, they would have known what he was speaking of. And what's even further interesting is Jesus, we know he was a carpenter, right? It says he was the son of Joseph, or, you know, not the biological son, but you know what I mean. Joseph was his father, and Joseph was a carpenter. And then another scripture says, isn't this the carpenter? So Jesus worked as a carpenter, and I know some say he probably worked with wood, not only wood, but also stone, like masonry. The point of it is the yoke being such a common farming instrument in that day, and Jesus working with wood, it's very likely that Jesus worked and built and put together some of these yokes. So typically what they would do is take the older, stronger, more experienced ox, and then they would yoke the younger, the newcomer, you know, the new addition. They would yoke the younger ox to the older, stronger, more experienced ox, and he would learn from him, you know. That way it keeps them together, you know. It helps share the burden, not only that, but also if you imagine it, it keeps them in a straight line. It keeps them together on the straight path. So when we're yoked to Christ, right, we're truly joined to him and following him, we're going to keep on that path. We're going to keep according to the way he wants, you know, his will for our lives. It's such a beautiful, profound picture. You know, there's so many other things that this world will try to get you to yoke yourself to, you know. There's so many distractions, whatever it may be, whether it's to yoke yourself to a career, a profession, a relationship, an addiction. You know, these things, whatever you yoke yourself to, whatever you join yourself to, whatever you identify to, it's going to determine the course of your life. See, you are joined with that thing, just like two oxen yoked together. And we're going on this path now. We're going on, it's leading to a finite result. It's leading to a destination. So what are you joining yourself to? What are you identifying and uniting your life with? Look at the distance, look at the horizon, and see where that's leading. If we are yoked to the Lord, to yoke to Christ, if you are a true believer, a true follower, and you are a new creation created in Christ Jesus, then you know your destination and you want to, you know, you want He is the good shepherd. You know, you want to be led by him. You want to learn from him. Even also Jesus says, I'm the vine, the true vine. You know, you have to abide in me to produce this fruit, for you can do nothing of your own. So I know that I want to be yoked to him. I want my destination to be that end result, what he says, who he says I am, who he wants me to be. I want my fulfillment to be found in him. You know, at the end, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I can't afford to hear disappointment. I can't afford to hear him say, depart from me. I never knew you. No, no way. You know, forgive me if this is a trivial example, but I can't help but think of one of my favorite quotes in the book, Alice in Wonderland. You know, he writes of Alice coming to a fork in the road, and she doesn't know which road to take. And up in the tree, she sees the Cheshire Cat, right? The big grin and all. And she says, excuse me, which path do I take? And he says, well, that depends. Where are you headed? And she says, well, I don't really know. And he says, well, then it doesn't matter which road you take. And that line always stood out to me because the point of that, right? The point of that statement, that analogy is you have to know your destination. You have to know the fulfillment. You have to know where you're headed to know which paths to take to get there, right? You know, every little thought, every action, every step you take is culminating to the path of the journey, is culminating to a destination, right? You know, there's that saying that says, watch your words, or watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become your deeds. Watch your deeds, for it becomes your destiny. That is so true. Every little decision, everything you're doing, your time, you're investing it. You're investing it, and it's going to, you know, the Bible would call it sowing and reaping, right? You are planting, you are sowing something, and you will reap that. You will reap a harvest of whatever that is. So every word, every decision, everything that you are investing your life, your actions in, is culminating into a grand finale, right? It's coming to a, it's making you into something. It's affecting your being and your destination, the fulfillment of your journey. And friend, brother, sister, what do you want that destination to be? And as I'm speaking on the cautions about what we yoke ourselves to in life, it reminds me, I want to go to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul writes, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? So there again, see, you know, when we looked at the definition of yoke, as a verb, it's to become joined, linked, united, especially as in marriage. So, you know, of course, I think of the verse where Paul says, believers, he's speaking to believers, and he says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership, you know? And there's another scripture that says, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? So here again, it goes back to the, you know, I did a podcast in the past about our allegiance, right, to Christ. Where is your allegiance? You know, and as believers, how important is he to you, man? Is he your Lord? If he's just your Lord sometimes or your Lord a little bit, I would submit to you that he's not your Lord at all. You know, Jesus says, you who say to me, Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say. You don't follow me. So is that a Lord? A Lord shows ownership. You know, a Lord shows a master, and you're not following my words, my actions. You know, when someone sees you, do they see him in you? That's what I want to be. I want to be transparent. You know, any good thing of me is because I died to myself and I'm alive in him, right? It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Isn't that what it's written? We're to become hidden in Christ. What does that mean? That means that I am hidden in him now. When God sees me, he sees his son. I pray that's the case, right? I don't want to be with all my baggage and with all my faults and failures. And, you know, the more I focus on me, the more my faith decreases, right? Your faith is only as good as the object that it's placed upon. So when I look at me, well, my doubt increases, right? My frustration increases, right? I failed there. I didn't do good enough there. I wasn't strong enough there. But see, it's not about me. Take your eyes off of me. Jesus says, keep your eyes on me, right? In the boat, right? The boat that's sinking. Don't look at your problems. Don't look at your failures. Don't look at your frustrations. You look to me. Keep your eyes on me, right? There is trouble in the world. Jesus says you'll have trials and tribulations, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Don't put your faith in that sinking ship. Don't put your faith in sand. Don't build your house on the sinking sand. You know what I mean? Put your faith, keep your faith in me. Don't get distracted by these things of the world. Keep your faith in me. Keep your eyes on me. You know, it's like the ship at night, right? When they're in the water, they have to look, whether it's a star or a light in the distance, in the horizon, they have to point the bow of the ship to that, and they have to stay the course to that light, right? They have to keep that in view, right? Whatever you focus on, that is what you magnify. And whatever you're focused on, that is what your goal is. You're heading to that destination. That'll be the fulfillment of your journey. So I ask you, what is that destination? What is the fulfillment of your journey? What have you chosen to yoke yourself to? What have you become united, become joined to? What have you allowed in your life to take you and lead you to whatever fulfillment that you're heading on now? Because it's never too late to turn around. You know, C.S. Lewis had a quote, and I'm paraphrasing it because I don't remember exactly how it went, but he said, the wisest man is the man who first realizes the path that he's on is not the path that he wants to be on. And the wise man is one who's quickest to do an about face, turn around, and head the other direction, right? So getting back to the topic of marriage, how, as a believer, are you going to, you know, the most important thing as a true believer should be the Lord, should be Christ. That should be number one, right? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, right? All your daily needs, provisions, things, these things come after. The first goal, the first priority, the first focus is Christ and the kingdom, right? Him and his ways. So how are you going to, in choosing a spouse, where is your allegiance? What does that say about you when you choose someone who does not acknowledge the Lord, or they may have like a very shallow, superficial faith? Oh yeah, the man upstairs. Hey, we're all good. Do you know that never opens the Bible, never knows, you know, there's no relationship there. You know, where is that in their daily walk? What you will see it. Jesus says, by their fruit, you'll know them. It's not about being judgmental. It's about being wise, being discernment, having discernment, being discerning. That's what he says. He says that you'll know the tree by the fruit. And, you know, we're to guard against false doctrines and false teachers and wolves in sheep's clothing and all these things, hypocrisy, all of that. So how, it's baffling that, you know, when we choose, if you are a believer, you must choose someone who chooses to honor the Lord with you. You know, that is what's, you're doing yourself a disservice and your Lord, you're doing him a disservice. You're saying that it's not really that important, you know. Back to the scripture, how can two walk together lest they be in agreement? This is the most important thing. This is your, you know, and that's how your children are going to be raised, you know, and just everything. It's how your life goals, they're going to, you know, there again, whatever we yoke ourselves to, whether that's a relationship, a spouse, a career, God forbid, an addiction, an unhealthy pattern of living, that's going to chart our where our lives go. That's going to chart the fulfillment of our destination. And you want someone who is going to have the same goals, have the same mindsets, the same desires as you. You know, it reminds me of that saying. It goes something like, pursue God with all that you are as fast as you can. And if someone keeps up, well, then feel free to introduce yourself. You know, and that's the idea of I know what I'm seeking. I'm running to this goal. I'm seeking him. My eyes are set on him. That is my, you know, that's my light, my star on the horizon. That is what I've aimed, charted the course of my life. You know, that's what I've aimed my ship towards. And as I'm pursuing that with all that I am, with all that I have, with every decision I make, I'm investing, I'm sowing, I'm reaping into that. And, you know, I'm not chasing after these other distractions. I'm not not, you know, but as I'm on that path, right, as I'm on the straight and narrow, and that's how I know I'm in God's will, right? Seeking after Him, listening to His Word, reading His Word, being diligent in prayer, just having a relationship. All relationship is based on communication. So Jesus says, my sheep know me. They know my voice and they hear me. And my sheep, you know, recognize my voice. So it's about just being in communion, being in fellowship, abiding in that vine, knowing Him. You know, you just like you know a loved one, you know of your relatives, you know they wouldn't say that or they wouldn't do that or they wouldn't be happy about this. You know them. And back to the subject of marriage, I want to take a look at what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39. He's talking about a wife is bound to her husband so long as he lives, but if her husband dies, she is free to marry whomever she wishes as long as he belongs to the Lord. So see, that is the stipulation. This is a believer we're talking about. Hey, this person, and we can say man or woman, this person wants, you know, this person is looking for a spouse. They're free to marry whomever they choose so long as this person belongs to the Lord. That's not non-negotiable, in other words, is what Paul's saying. And I want to look at, if we go back a little bit in 1 Corinthians, a few verses back in chapter 7, verse 35, he says, I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. So see, he's saying, I'm not trying to burden you. I'm not trying to place this restraint on you. You can't do this. You can't have this. You can't have this person. He's saying, I'm not doing that. I'm trying to promote good order for your life, and I'm trying to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. Remember, that's what we said, your allegiance, your devotion to the Lord. You are displaying that when you choose who you yoke yourself with, when you choose a spouse. If the Lord is not a part of their life, if He doesn't matter to them, then you're doing a disservice to yourself and to Him by saying, I'm choosing this person. They don't really care much about you, but I'm going to yoke myself together with them. And you know, it's not really a big deal. We'll figure it out along the way. It's all good. The Lord knows. He understands. And I don't want to harp on this subject too much, but I guess I'm passionate about it. And I just want to stress that if you are a believer, you know that the Lord has created you. You are His creation, and He has created, He's laid out you. You know, it says He knows the number of your days. He's laid out your life. He's created these good works in order that you would, He's predestined them, that you would walk in them. And He has a fulfillment, and He has a purpose and a plan for your life. And the more we deviate from that, the more we get distracted, and the more we choose things that don't glorify Him, that don't honor Him, then it's like the GPS. You know, you have a destination, and you're taking all these detours and these roadblocks, and you're going off course, and it's making the time. It's making you have more. You know, you're doing more unnecessary travel, unnecessary wear and tear on your tires, and burning unnecessary fuel. You know, you may have flat tires along the way, unnecessary. I'm putting it, you know, metaphorically, of course. But it's adding time to your destination. It's adding time to your journey. You're taking yourself further off the path. You know, back to C.S. Lewis says, the wisest person is he who realizes, hey, I'm not on the right path, and I'm going to do a turnaround. You know, repentance, that's what it means, turning the other way, changing direction, and getting back on path. So the more you focus on that, and the more you choose to stay on that path, that destination, and that includes, as believers, choosing whatever you yoke yourself to. And in this particular instance right now, we're talking about marriage. So choosing a spouse, that they have to fear the Lord, honor the Lord, you know, and they have to want that in their life. Like, they have to be pursuing that. And you know, like it's like the little analogy said, if someone's keeping up, then introduce yourself. You know, y'all are pursuing that together, being yoked, right? Having a common, sharing the workload, having a common destination. Okay, I'll get off that soapbox or high horse. And on to the next thing. We can also yoke not only ourselves to other person in marriage. You know, that was one of the illustrations. But another one is, like I said, it could be our career. It could be, God forbid, those people who are struggling with addictions. You know, this has become your identity. You've yoked yourself with this thing, or this thing has yoked to you. It's attached itself to you. But, you know, Jesus says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Okay, free indeed. He is the only one that can truly set you free. You have freedom in him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he also says that the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So he is the only one with the power to break those bonds, whatever, you know. And I've never had a serious addiction, other than, you know, I guess not chemical addiction. So I can't fully relate to those, but I can empathize as best as I can. And these substances, what, you know, they release the chemicals in our brain and all this, and I'm giving way too much. You know, everybody's dealing with something that other people, we have no idea about, right? So I can't presume to know everyone's situation and to be like, you know, it's easy if someone's battling with depression or anxiety, it's easy to say, hey, cheer up, or hey, you know, just go out and do more, or hey, just stop smoking those cigarettes, you know, just, you'll save money. And yeah, oh, cool. I haven't thought about that. You know what I mean? So it's easier said than done, but I'm just telling you. And it's not my word. It's, you know, it's the Lord. He's saying, hey, I'm strong enough, right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the answer to any question. You know, he's that fulfillment. And I'm telling you, you know, there's another thing. We're talking about yoking ourselves and these burdens and being heavy laden. You know, there's, I think it's in 1 Peter, he writes, cast your cares on the Lord, for he cares for you. And I love that beautiful play on words. It's casting your anxieties, casting these hangups. You, I say, man, they're too much to bear. They're too heavy for me. I can't do this on my own. So he says, cast them on me because I can. I can. Yoke yourself to me and we're going to share this workload, brother. You can't do it without me. But with me, see, nothing plus Christ equals everything. Weakness plus Christ equals strength, right? Darkness, dismay, plus Christ equals light, hope, joy, salvation. So give it to him. You can't do it on your own. You can't break those chains of bondage. You can't break that addiction, but you can in him. When he says what you are, when you realize who you are in him, he's that good shepherd. Just call out to him. You know, it says those who call on the Lord will never be put to shame. Repent, say, Lord, I don't want these things to have mastery over me. I choose to follow you. Set me free, Lord, for you say that whomever you set free is free indeed. I want to be free in you. I want to be free to pursue you. I want to be free to hear you. Let me trust in you. Hear, speak to me, Lord, for I am your servant. I'm your disciple. I want to learn from you. I want that yoke you speak of, for I trust that as you say, your burden is easy and your yoke is light. There's in 1 Corinthians 6:12, Paul writes, I will not allow anything to have mastery over me. I will not be mastered by anything. That's the ESV. In the contemporary English version, it says, in other words, it says, I refuse to let anything have power over me. So that's just, you know, going back to those, whether it's a relationship, addictions, mostly is what we're talking about now, just things of life. Don't be mastered by anything. We are not to allow, you know, the gifts of the fruits of the Spirit, right? One of them is self-control. Discipline and self-control. Nothing should have mastery over you. Nothing should prevent you from being who you need to be, from doing the right thing. If you see something has too much, you are giving into something, you know, you're in bondage to something, you give that to the Lord, you know, in prayer. Give it to him and say, Lord, you can break me free of whatever this is hindering me. It's weighing me down. Lord, I give it to you. You can free me from it. You can lighten my burden. You can take that load. So as we bring this thing to a close, just I encourage you to meditate on this. And in your prayer time, in your quiet time with the Lord, just think about his words and respond to that calling. You know, when he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I encourage you just to reflect on those beautiful words and that invitation of our Savior and just, you know, acknowledge. I know every time I hear it, I do think, oh, Lord, I am weary. I am burdened down. And I look around and I see brothers and sisters and other people who, You know, they're going through things I can't even begin to understand. But I know that, Lord, for my situation and not only mine, but all these others too, Lord, I know that you are able. You're the only one strong enough. You're the only one with the capabilities, Lord, that to be yoked to and to share that workload and to share those burdens. I want to be yoked to you. I want us to be joined and connected, and that way, where you go, I go. Oh, Lord, let that be the prayer of all of you. Lord, where you go, I go. You know, that's what being a disciple is, right? Being a follower, a learner. You know, one of the beautiful things I've always said is the Lord not only gives us life, but he teaches us how to live, right? Jesus said, I've given you this example, so do as I've done for you. Follow, learn from me, yoke yourselves to me, be joined to me, be united with me, and you will find rest for your souls. Amen, Lord.
Thank you so much to everyone who has joined me and listened in to this podcast. Remember to stay tuned for future podcasts and also check out the website steadfastdisciple.com for more studies. Until next time, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain.